Last week we launched into this series, Care Like Jesus, and as we did this, we timed this up with this beginning of the new year, because we said, hey, why don't we do this at the beginning of the year while everybody's thinking, hey, I want to make sure that this year is going to be my best year yet, and we've all got different things that we start to think of what we can do and how we can make this our best year, whether we focus on our health, whether we're focusing on some habits, whether we're focusing on our home life, but also we need to be focusing on the holy life that God has called us to live, a life that is separate, apart from the way that the world wants us to live and the way that God wants us to live. And so the way that God wants us to live is for us to be people that we would care like Jesus. And so we're looking at this whole idea of what could life be like if we would be people that we would care like Jesus. How could we change our community if we would care like Jesus? How could we even change what Christianity looks like and feels like to our world if we would be people that we would get serious and we would say, we want to be people that we would care like Jesus? So last week as we launched this series, we looked at this idea of caring like Jesus unconditionally. That we would do this unconditionally, that we wouldn't be looking at people and going, oh yeah, you know, you deserve it. Oh, you've done, oh, you've had that. Oh, let me help you then. That we would just unconditionally, that we would care like Jesus. We aren't doing this because we're going, hey, we think that'd be a great idea. What could we do? It's because we're taking the time to look at, well, what are the ways that Jesus cared? Who are the types of people that Jesus cared for? What did it look like when he did it? And so we looked last week at what we know in our Bible, what's often referred to as the woman at the well. This woman who would go to the well all by herself, all alone in the heat of the day, because nobody would take her in. Nobody would welcome her into their social circle. Nobody would include her. And so there she is. She's just left on her own. And Jesus loves her unconditionally. And as he does, and as he lets her know that he's the Messiah, he's the Savior, he's the long-awaited one, this very woman who had been rejected by society, rejected by her own people, she had a choice to make. Am I going to just kind of hold this in and go, well, at least I got that? Or am I going to end up sharing this? Because see, in just a few moments of spending time alone with Jesus, Jesus went from being a stranger to being a Jew to being a sir to being the Messiah to being her Savior. And it changed her. It changed her so much that when she finally understood this and saw this, she went to the very people that were shunning her and shared Jesus with them. And then Jesus hung out with these people for 2 days, and multitudes of people came into a relationship with their Heavenly Father because there was a woman that was willing to care like Jesus, to share Jesus with them. See, we have the ability to choose to be unselfish. We have this ability. And unselfish actions, they're built on unconditional acceptance. And any one of us that are here, that we know what it's like to be unconditionally accepted by Jesus our Savior, that we need the ones that we're going out there, we're going to have these unselfish actions where we're going to be loving on others. In fact, it wouldn't surprise me if there's some of you that are here this morning and that you're here because life's been hard, life's beat you up, and you know that Jesus is the one that can refresh you and can strengthen you, and so you've chosen to come back into church, the very place that you left because you felt beat up by the very people that you used to go to church with. And you're just here going, is this place different? Can I come here? There's some of you that maybe you're here today and you're just coming in and you're going, you know, I don't even know if this is a good church for me. I don't even know what this church believes. But I just know that I need something that I'm missing. And so I'm here and I'm looking. And I hope that this is going to be a place where I'm going to be able to fill whatever this void is in my life that I can't even be able to identify what it is. And we welcome you here, and we are so glad you're here. Maybe for you, you're here because you know that this is part of what you need to have as a holy habit in your life. That you need to be coming to a place where you get to be reminded and instructed of who God is and how you need to go about living out your faith. That here at Crosspoint, we just welcome all kinds. And we welcome you whether you're a veteran of the faith and you're excited about growing in that relationship, whether you're kind of just kind of on the fence and kind of unsure and going, yeah, I think I want to be a Christian because I definitely want to go to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Or maybe for you, you're just coming in and you're just going, I'm just looking for a place where I can experience some community and there's some people that's going to accept me and love me. Or I'm just here because I'm looking for hope. But every week, we just want to be able to be this church that's going to share that with others. And this Care Like Jesus series, it's going to be this incredible way for us to look and go, yes, Jesus has been this deliverer of hope. He has been and he continues to be. But he's also asking us to be some delivery agents. That we would be ones that we would go out and we would deliver this as well. And so we're asking you to make this a year that you're going to care like Jesus. We've got these little wristbands that we handed out last week and made available. If you weren't here last week or you snuck out without getting one, we've got these in the Welcome Center. When you leave, you can get your hands on it. It simply says, care like Jesus. May it be a reminder to you. If you're somebody that you're wanting to read a little bit more about this, find out what are some ways that I can be doing this, we've actually come up with a list. It's not a complete list, but it's a list of varying ways that you could be going out and you could be caring like Jesus. And so you can text the letters CLJ to 59769. Maybe you just need to pull out your phone and do that now so you don't forget to do that later. But you just text these letters CLJ to 59769. It's going to send you a little link, and it's going to show you some ways that you can go and begin to care like Jesus. It's not a complete list. It's just a starting point. And as you think about caring like Jesus, you can go out and you can begin to do this on your own. You can go out and you can say, I want to rally some people and let's go do this together. You can be caring like Jesus because you just have this on your mind and on your forefront. And all of a sudden, Jesus is going to provide an opportunity for you. And you're going to decide, hey, am I going to do this inconvenient thing and care like Jesus right now? Because this is a divine moment that God has given me. But that we would be people that we would care like Jesus. That we would do this. And that we would get to see what it is that God would end up doing in their lives. Maybe we're going to get to see that here in this lifetime, and maybe we're going to have to wait until we enter into eternity to see and discover just what God did as we cared like his son. So this week, we're going to talk about this idea of without prejudice. It's care like Jesus. So last week, we looked at this idea of unconditionally. This week, we're going to look at it without prejudice, that we would care like Jesus without prejudice. You know, the timing of this, and I certainly didn't plan this out and go, you know, we're going to do this week on the weekend of MLK. It just kind of worked out that here we are, and this is what we're doing. And tomorrow, there's a lot of people that have off, whether you have off from school, whether you have off from work. And it's Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And there is something that he has said that I hope just forever rings in your mind and in your heart. And what he had to say is free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are what? Free at last. And here was a man that fought throughout the 50s and into the early 60s for racial equality. And when he began to see that the headway started happening, free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. Prejudice. Prejudice produces problems with people. That's what it does. That if you're that person that you have some prejudice and you act in some ways that are prejudiced, you think with prejudiced thoughts. And what is this prejudice? It's when there's no evidence and there's no reason, there's no experience, but yet you just have formed an opinion about somebody else that's negative. That's prejudice. And prejudice, it produces problems for people. It produces problems for the one who is prejudiced, and it certainly produces problems for the one that is on the receiving end of that prejudice. For that person that has these prejudices, of how it just kind of takes a grip on their heart and it just kind of squeezes some of the life out of it and some of the joy out of it. Because they end up using their life to discriminate against others instead of love others. That's a problem for them. For the people that are on the receiving end of that hate, it's a problem for them. And when we care like Jesus, we're going to have to care without prejudice. And prejudice, it's not limited to race. It's not limited to skin color. It's not even limited to your social status. That we certainly live in a time that we're starting to see the results of prejudice just come to light when it comes to gender prejudice. We're starting to see this prejudice when it comes to profession. We're starting to see prejudice when it comes to religion. And I think maybe for the first time in our American history, that we saw prejudice during an election skyrocket like we've never seen before. And people being hated because of who they either said they were going to vote for or who they did vote for. How many of you guys saw that video that went viral of a man at a stoplight? And in his car, he was having problems and they came up to him and they started messing with him and some lady starts screaming, "He voted for Trump! He voted for Trump!" And they just begin to beat that guy. Anybody catch that? The video just went viral. Just hate. Prejudice. I don't even know if there was any evidence for them to even know who this person voted for or not. But just the hate that came out. Here's what I think is true about prejudice. Prejudice is rooted in fear. It's rooted in fear. And it's this fear of that they are going to take something away from me. This fear of that they are going to hurt me. This fear of that they are going to limit me. This fear of they are going to try to change me. And it's this fear. And there's this fear and this prejudice. It can convince you that those people, the ones that you're prejudiced against, it can convince you that those people are the source of your problem. They're not. But that fear will take over and convince you of that. Prejudice is the gateway for discrimination. That is the gateway for discrimination. And when we begin to have this thought and this feeling of prejudice, it's this gateway that just opens right up and we just begin to live life discriminating against certain people because we're prejudiced. Last week, as we looked at this care like Jesus and we looked at what Jesus did and how he cared, we got to see that Jesus exercised and showed his compassion to this woman at the well, the Samaritan. And a Samaritan was somebody who was looked down upon by the Jewish people. Jesus is a Jew, and the Jewish people looked down on the Samaritans because it just reminded them of a time when their own people went and were engaged sexually with people that weren't Jews and ended up creating this whole people group called the Samaritans. And they looked at them, and it's harsh that they would even look at it this way, but this is how they looked at them. They looked at them as half-breeds. They looked at them as people that, no, you're not part of the true bloodline of the line that's special for God. It was wrong for them to do that, but that's what they did. And Jesus showed compassion to this very woman. That's why she was so surprised. You're a Jew. Why are you even talking to me? Why are you even offering me any help? And he showed compassion then. And we're going to look today and we're going to see how Jesus also continues to show compassion. But we're also going to see now Jesus actually exercise some of his power and his authority. And we're going to be in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 17. And I would encourage you to follow along, whether you brought your printed Bible, whether you've got your electronic Bible on your phone. But we're going to be looking at this particular account where he comes in and he acts in such a way that it is clearly without prejudice. In fact, many times when Jesus would do something like this, people were dumbfounded. They're like, how could you, Jesus? You couldn't, shouldn't associate with them. You shouldn't be involved with them. You certainly shouldn't touch them. And yet Jesus didn't care about the societal norms and the societal rules, because what Jesus really cared for was people. He cared for people. And he was willing to break any societal rule so that he could care for people. When it comes to caring like Jesus, guess what we have to do? We have to break some societal rules sometimes so that we will what? We'll care like Jesus and care for people. So here we are, when we look at this passage, we're going to be starting in chapter 17, verse 11. But as we begin to look at this, this is going to be during the last few months of Jesus' life on earth, before he would give his life as a sacrifice for our sins. And Jesus, he's been crisscrossing all across Israel. He's been just covering the whole entire land, just keep making journeys to be able to share with people. He's been healing people. He's been teaching people. He's been forgiving people. He's been baptizing people. He's just been going all across the land, spreading the real message of hope that God intended for all people to hear about. And he's been doing it, and he's been seeing some incredible success, and yet the religious leaders, they're so frowned upon him and so down on him and who he is and the followers that he's gaining, and he's breaking the religious laws because Jesus wasn't religious. I was helping out a friend of mine yesterday, and he came up and he asked me a question, and he says, "John, I'm going to ask you this question, Will, because I know that you're religious." No, I'm not. I'm not religious. And you shouldn't be either. Yes, there's a religion that we should be believing in and trusting, and that religion is Christianity. But we shouldn't be religious people. We should be godly people. Religion's what got people so far distracted from who God was. And these religious leaders just started making up their own laws and their own rules, thinking that, oh, this is the right interpretation. It's what happens with Christianity. How many here have ever been turned off by Christianity because of another Christian? Yeah, see? That's that religiousness coming out. It's not about us being religious. It's about us being authentic and seeing who Jesus is and who he wants us to be. So we're going to pick this up. Verse 11. It says, as Jesus continued on toward Jerusalem, he reached the border between Galilee and Samaria. Oh, we're back to the same place we looked at last week. Samaria. As he entered a village there, 10 men with leprosy stood at a distance. Leprosy. Oh, this was possibly the most despised disease of their time. That all lepers were avoided. They were just people that you would stay very clear from. In fact, if you were somebody that you had leprosy, you had to make it known anytime somebody would come near you that you had this. That anytime somebody would be coming near and approaching you, you would have to yell out, "Unclean! Unclean!" And you'd have to make sure that everybody knew that you were unclean. There's something about you. And as they start to look and see, and they can see this skin disease, that's what leprosy was. They could see the skin, and they're like, oh. And they would just stay away, and they would avoid you. Leprosy was this disease that was seen as divine judgment. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of the 80s and the early 90s. When we started seeing all this results of HIV, and we started seeing people make this kind of claim, oh, that's God's judgment against that lifestyle. And that's what we did, and we just would start to see this, and people would be saying this. This is what was taking place in their time with leprosy. It was, you've done something, and this is God's divine judgment against you that you have this. And you better go get right with God so that you don't have that, because this is God coming after you. The lepers were outcast, literally. They were cast out from their villages. They were forced to live on the outskirts of the village and could not live with the people in the village. That when you were somebody that you had leprosy, leprosy ended up leveling the playing field for you. It didn't matter how you had succeeded socially. It didn't matter how you had succeeded economically. It didn't matter what bloodline you were born into. It leveled the playing field. Because the only people that lepers could find themselves that they could even interact with and socialize with and even live with were other lepers. And everything just was leveled. That leprosy, it obliterated any distinction of who you were before you even had this. Your new social standing was, you're just equal with any other leper. That's how they lived. And so if we were to take the time to get into our Old Testament, if we were to take the time to get into this third book of our Bible, this book called Leviticus, it's this book of law. We're not going to go there. We're not going to turn there. But if you have the interest in looking and seeing a little bit more about what God said about, hey, how are you supposed to look at this? And how are you supposed to understand whether this is a disease or not? And then what do you do with it? And how do you get clean from it? And then you're going to be able to read about that in Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14. And so you can do that on your own. Or if I get a little too boring for you, then you can just start reading it while we're here. But as we look at this, we see that God instructed the priests, not doctors, but the priests. He said, you are going to be the ones that if anybody has something, that they're going to come to you if it looks like they might have this skin disease, and you're going to be the one that's going to look at them, and you're going to determine whether they have this or not. And so God began to give them descriptors so that they could know whether or not they had it or not. If they're open sores, then yeah, it's going to be leprosy. If it's closed and the hairs are white, but yet it's not growing, it's not flaking anymore, then you know what? Then they're not going to be considered unclean. And it gives you this massive description of what it is and how to know whether or not it's going to be called unclean. And so when they would first see it, they would treat it as if it was, and they would say, okay, you're going to have to go through this ceremonial cleansing process. And so for 7 days, you can't interact with anybody that might not have this disease. You can't be near them, can't be around them. And after that 7-day period, you're going to come back to the priest. He's going to look at it. He's going to examine it. If it hasn't gotten any worse, then you're going to be okay. And it's not going to be leprosy. It's not going to be considered this thing that you're unclean. But yet if it gets worse, yeah, you have leprosy. And so it gives a little bit more description, and we're not going to get into some of it because it can kind of get kind of gross with some of the things that they had to say about identifying this and seeing this. But it wasn't something that was without hope. It wasn't something that you could never overcome. Many wouldn't, but some would. And so they would go through this process. And so here are these lepers as Jesus comes into town. And there they are. They're on the outskirts. They're standing at a distance. And Jesus sees them. Leprosy is this thing that it brought two burdens to your life. That if you were somebody that you dealt with leprosy, it brought this physical burden, okay? And so as we look at this, we can look at just two verses here in Leviticus, chapter 13, verse 45. It says, those who suffer from a serious skin disease must tear their clothing and leave their hair uncombed. They must cover their mouth and call out, unclean! Unclean. Why did they have to do this? They had to take their clothes. They had to tear their clothes. They had to leave their hair uncombed. They had to visually identify so that people could begin to know, oh, you're one of those. And then you had to verbally call out as well. That this was that physical burden. Then there's the psychological burden. Verse 46, as long as a serious disease lasts, they will be ceremonially unclean, and they must live in isolation in their place outside the camp. The leprosy, it brought this burden of limitation. And so here are these 10, and they're feeling this burden of limitation. They're on the outskirts. The religious leaders who would often tack on some extra rules to God's law that depend on who your rabbi, who your teacher was, determine what your appropriate distance was. That some rabbis would just teach that, hey, they just need to stay a rod's distance away from you, maybe about 4 feet, okay? And for these lepers, they probably were glad to stay that far away because probably there was some people that might have wanted to beat them with that stick. So I'm good with staying that far away. But some would teach that you need to stay as far as 100 paces away from them. That way you wouldn't even converse with them. You wouldn't even have any interaction with them. That this is God's judgment on them, and so don't go being compassionate to them. You stay 100 paces away from them. So let's look and see how Jesus comes along and he cares for them. So verse 14, he looked at them and said, go show yourself to the priests. And as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. So what did Jesus do? That Jesus said, I'm going to align with what the rules and the regulations are, that God's law says that what you need to do is you need to go to the priest. And so that's what he did. He told them, go and show yourself to the priest. They might have thought, oh, I've already done that. I've already been there. I just went 2 days ago, and I don't go again for another 5 days. And he says, go and show yourself to the priest. Now, Jesus has a reputation. He's a healer. He has powers that others don't have, and he does things that nobody else has seen done before consistently, over and over and over again. And so these 10 go, and they make their way to the priest, and it says, and as they went, they were cleansed of their leprosy. That Jesus simultaneously heals 10 men in an instant. Now, just because he told them to go doesn't mean that he was being compassionate and caring or showing power. It's what he was doing when they took that step of faith and were willing to follow. And he heals them. He makes them clean and whole again. Verse 15 and 16, it says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he came back to Jesus shouting, praise God! And he fell to the ground at Jesus' feet, thanking him for what he had done. This man was a Samaritan. And here it is again, a Samaritan that is seeing Jesus, a Jew, that was willing to care and willing to heal and do what Jesus could do to make a difference in this man's life. He does. So we sum this up and look at this. When Jesus healed the leper, there's three things that we can see. That when Jesus healed the lepers, he was compassionate to the rejected. See, we're wanting to care like Jesus, so we must take some notes here and go, okay, so what do I need to do? Because what did Jesus do? He was compassionate to the rejected. When Jesus healed the lepers, he was considerate to the afflicted. That they had their own affliction, they had their own issues, and Jesus looked at them and he was considerate to them with their affliction. And Jesus, he was capable of overturning judgment. See, this was probably the biggest one. Because for them to be healed, cleaned in a moment, so that all of society showed all of... Wait. We thought God had judgment on you. And they're whole. And they're clean. And they don't see that and feel that anymore. Last three verses. Jesus asked, didn't I heal 10 men, right? Because just the one Samaritan came back. Where are the other nine? Has no one returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And Jesus said to the man, stand up and go. Your faith has healed you. See, he healed 10, but one of them had a life-changing experience. Because one of them saw the opportunity for all that it was. This is about this anointed one of God accepting me. When we care like Jesus, it's an opportunity for us to show somebody who has doubts, who thinks God would never take me and God would never love me, God would never accept me, and to show them that God accepts you. God loves you. So let me sum it up this way. Three ways to care like Jesus. Three ways to care like Jesus. We want to be people that are caring like Jesus. Here's three ways to care like Jesus when we look at what Jesus has done. Consider people's needs. Consider their needs. That's what Jesus started with. He saw them and he just considered their needs. Act compassionately toward people. That's what Jesus did. He acted compassionately toward these people. And the third thing, protect people from the judgment of others. That we would protect them from the judgment of others. That when we come along and we love on somebody, we accept somebody and we hug them, we let them know that they're a person of worth and value. They might even open up and start sharing about how they feel rejected by, how they feel judged by, and what their experiences are. And this is where you and I have opportunities to let them know that Jesus loves you. And don't take what somebody else is doing to you and let that cause you to doubt the love of your God. Because Jesus loves you. The challenge is for you. Are you willing to live life with some inconveniences so that you can care like Jesus? To be willing to do something that's going to be inconvenient at times that God provides an opportunity for you and do the inconvenient thing so that you can care like Jesus. I don't think that we will ever be able to fully understand and fathom how God wants to use us to make a difference in the lives of people. And every once in a while, he's going to give us a glimpse when we do something and we care like Jesus, and they end up coming back to us like this one leper and sharing with us the difference that we made. Let's be people that are willing to make a difference in the name of Jesus. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, you sent Jesus to care for this world, and he cared in the most ultimate way of giving his life. God, while we don't have that ability to give our life to take away people's sins, we can use our life. We can give the time of our life so that we can care like Jesus to those that are already in the faith and they're convinced of who you are, to those that are far from you. We can care like Jesus. So I pray that as you put opportunity before us, that we would pause long enough to see it and that we would leverage the opportunity you give so that we can know what it's like to care like Jesus. God, do that in us and through us. It's in your name we pray. Amen.